Welcome to the Issue Is podcast on another historic week. This week, the inauguration of Donald Trump again. The House now has its impeachment managers that are going to take the case to the Senate, make the case in the trial, see if they can get enough Republicans actually for a conviction. Eric Swalwell, Democrat from the East Bay, he is one of those impeachment managers, and he joins us this week. And a little later, we'll talk with the former mayor of San Diego, Kevin Faulkner, who could very well be the next governor of the state of California. He's running. He's supporting the recall. He is a Republican. Can a Republican win in this blue state? He's going to give it a try. We'll talk to him about that in a bit. But let's begin with Representative Swalwell on the week of impeachment.
Congressman, welcome back to The Issue Is.
Thank you. And no promises that you will not hear from those two little ones.
Very nice. That would be probably the best part of the interview. So we welcome them to be
the
a part of it.
The most intelligent part of the interview.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. You've now been named one of the impeachment managers, which means you're going to be central to the Senate trial. Critics would say, look, there are days left in President Trump's term. The Senate trial is going to happen after he's already left office. Congress has all these other issues they should tackle instead. Why was this impeachment really necessary? What do you say to that?
We're under attack. America's under attack, not in the past tense, form of it that we were attacked last week by an attack the president incited with our own people against our own Capitol. But I've been briefed on future plots by the president's supporters, many of the same people who came to the Capitol. So knowing our act and scene in the House, we believe that the best thing we could do was to try and have the vice president remove the president through the 25th Amendment. And if he wasn't willing to do that, we would impeach him and ask the Senate to take this up immediately. If they're not going to do that, there's still reasons because of accountability, deterrence, and just making sure that there are consequences that we should proceed with this.
Can you tell us any more about some of those potential attacks you're talking about that were expected soon?
We've been briefed that there are multiple efforts underway of armed attacks, people who would come to stop us from carrying out the inauguration. That's why you're seeing so much security around the Capitol. And I just think of being a little kid and my dad always pointing out when Ronald Reagan was inaugurated or Bill Clinton was sworn in that there were not tanks in the street. He always say, son, that's what makes us so special is that we transfer power in a peaceful way. And that's not the case here. For the first time in our country's history, we will not be able to say that we had a peaceful transition of power, but we owe it to ourselves and the world to show that we can have a peaceful inauguration next week.
It really is something if you think about that in those terms. Speaker Pelosi selected you, as I mentioned, as one of the impeachment managers, which means that you're going to be making the case before the Senate. Think of the job that Congressman Schiff did the last time around. So what is that trial going to actually look like? When is it going to start?
Well, we're ready to make the case as soon as possible. The Senate's not in session right now, so I'll leave it to the Speaker of the House to determine when she sends over those articles of impeachment. But again, we're ready to go. I think this is a case where people understand what happened. The jurors are victims. They ran for their lives just as the impeachment managers ran for their lives. And everyone saw what the president said for weeks, what he said at the rally, and what the people he commanded to that rally did at the Capitol.
Is it going to be a quick trial? Are we talking like a day? What does your presentation of evidence look like? Can you preview it for us?
So the Senate decides that, and so I'll leave it to the Senate. Again, we have a lot of evidence of the president's intent here to not step down, to radicalize the terrorists who took the Capitol by continuing to propagate the big lie that they could go there to the Capitol and stop us from performing our duties. And then, of course, what he said that day, as well as the motive to hold on to power, that he was willing, after court loss, after court loss, after court loss, to hold on to power. So we have intent, we have motive. It's a pretty powerful case, and we're seeking the vote of every senator.
Now, Mitch McConnell, who is the Senate majority leader right now, is about to become the minority leader, is clearly leaking the fact that he's open to your case, open to the thought of convicting. How important would that be? And how realistic do you think it is that you actually will find 17 Republicans who are willing to convict the president?
So we're not looking for 17 Republicans. We're looking for at least 67 Americans, patriots, jurors who will do their job. And we're not looking at it as Republican or Democratic votes because, as I said, we were all victims. We all ran and fled together. We all called our wives and our husbands and our children out of the terror that we felt. And we hope that common experience brings a common verdict. I am heartened to see that Mitch McConnell is keeping an open mind, and I hope every juror, you know, is impartial about this, and that's the best you can ask in this situation.
Yeah, more of a big picture question here. How did we get to this moment with an armed insurrection at the Capitol, with potential tanks in the streets the week of the inauguration? I mean, even after all of this, President Trump still remains popular with his base. We know they're not big fans of you. I'm sure some of them will criticize us for even having you on the show. How can we come together in this country or even share similar facts going forward?
You know, there is a prayer that, you know, to have peace, you must also have justice. We need unity in this country, and we can unite against, you know, the people that incited and attacked the Capitol. And so we must do that for the sake of the country. You know, the president's popularity right now is at 29% in a poll that I saw today. So to me, that means there's an overwhelming majority of Americans who do want to unite. That's the theme of Joe Biden's inauguration. And we can unite around addressing COVID. We can unite around attacking economic inequality in this country. We can unite around infrastructure spending. So there's a lot we can unite around, but that doesn't mean we don't do our job of bringing justice.
You know, next week, you will be on hand for the inauguration of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We've talked about it a little bit already. We've already seen all those troops. What are your expectations for what that inauguration is going to look like and what it's going to feel like for you?
It has to be done peacefully. That's the most important part. It has to have witnesses. And so America's elected leaders and the family members of, you know, the inaugural party should be able to be there and witness it. You know, it's a pandemic, so we're already limited in who can attend. But we want it to be done safely, and we want to see Joe Biden able to walk into the Oval Office just after noon next week and take control of this country and begin the long process of healing, reconciliation, and leading.
Kamala Harris, by the way, a proud daughter of the Bay Area. What does having a Californian like her so high up in the administration, the first Democrat ever on the ticket from California, what does that mean for California?
We're so proud of Vice President-elect Harris, a woman of color, making history. I know her from the Alameda County District Attorney's Office. It's where she and I both got our start in that office. We carry such pride for, you know, her service in the office. And that office taught people that we don't seek wins, we seek justice. And I see that creed carried out in her public service, whether it was as district attorney, attorney general, California senator. And I know it will follow her to being vice president.
The biggest issue for her, for you, for everybody, the biggest issue right now remains the coronavirus. So many Californians are frustrated by what they call a confusing vaccine distribution program. They don't think there's been enough relief from Congress either. Bottom line, what can your constituents in California expect in the coming months on the coronavirus front?
They should expect it to be delivered and a federal government who's a partner to help them do that. Look, the owner of, or the general manager of the Oakland A's called me yesterday and said, what can I do to use the Coliseum as a distribution point? And, you know, he shouldn't be having to ask to do that. We should be going to him to do that. So I look forward, you know, after next week to having, you know, a better plan to have, you know, good citizens who want to help to be able to distribute it. I will also say that if you did not invent the vaccine or manufacture the vaccine or put it in someone's shoulder, you can still get your family members and your neighbors to a vaccine distribution site. That's going to be important. There's a role that all of us can play here.
And in terms of more help, Joe Biden announcing his plan, a trillion dollar plan. How realistic is it that Joe Biden's plan is passed in the House and the Senate? Is that what we're actually looking at seeing?
The need is there, and we had 44 Republicans vote with us a couple of weeks ago when we passed in the House a $2,000 stimulus. So when we go to pass that Biden plan, those are the first 44 Republicans we should reach out to because they already demonstrated they recognize the need. But again, the most important thing we can do is to meet the need, crush the virus, open up our schools. And I say that as a parent and open up our churches and our main streets.
And lastly, just sort of to wrap things up, this moment in history, this week, what an exhausting and sort of unforgettable few weeks. We have on one Wednesday the Capitol Hill attack, the next Wednesday an impeachment, the following Wednesday an inauguration. How do you process this moment? And what are your thoughts as you reflect on it?
That this experiment in self-governance is fragile and we can't take it for granted. And the best thing we can do is to redeem it and find renewal. And that renewal, those three acts that you just laid out, you know, you're based in at Los Angeles, so I'm sure some smart screenwriter will write a book or a play called Three Wednesdays. But on the third Wednesday, that's where we, you know, really restore our democracy. And we have an opportunity to do that next week.
By the way, Aaron Sorkin just called, and he's looking for you to work with him on that that plan forward. Get some extra money on the side, right? Congressman Swalwell, thank you very much for sharing your perspective. We hope to see you in D.C. next week. Best of luck to you.
My pleasure. Stay safe.
Our thanks to Representative Swalwell. Now, let's talk about the situation in the state of California, when it comes to Governor Gavin Newsom. There's been more than a million signatures signed for a recall petition. It's still unclear whether that recall will make the ballot in the next few months. They got to get more signatures, but there's a good chance that it will. And if it does, Kevin Faulkner's putting his name forward to be an alternative to Gavin Newsom. If the recall doesn't happen, he's going to likely run against him in 2022. He's formed an exploratory committee on that. We talked to him about that, about COVID-19, and got to know him a bit. Here is Mayor Kevin Faulkner.
Kevin Faulkner just wrapped up his time as mayor of San Diego. Before that, he was a longtime city council president there. He's currently a professor at Pepperdine University, and he's officially just considering a gubernatorial campaign. Kevin Faulkner, welcome back to The Issue Is. Nice to see your home. It's very nice.
Well, thank you, Alex, and it's great to be back with you. Thanks for having me.
All right. So we know that it is called an exploratory committee, but you're running for governor, right?
Well, I will tell you, we're taking all the steps to do just that, Alex, and this committee allows us to harness that energy that is out there all across the state, allows us to organize, raise the dollars. And I will tell you that when we look at what the governor is not doing, the frustration, the anger, the disappointment, that's across the spectrum. We have Republicans, Democrats, independents, families all over California that understand that this state needs a change at the top.
So you're saying you're doing everything to go towards running for governor. Is there anything that would make you not run?
Well, I don't think so at this point. What we're seeing is things are continuing to not go in the right direction. And look, as a lifelong Californian, and so many of us here, we want the best for our state. And as I said, when there's so many failures that have been happening, whether it's COVID, whether it's homelessness, whether it's what's happening with our unemployment, you know, just to name a few, we need to bring the state together. We need to get back to the basics. We need to make our state run again. And I think that is something that is all of us Californians can understand.
All right, we'll go through each of those issues, but let's start with sort of a big picture question. Governor Newsom was elected in a landslide a few years ago. He would say that, look, he's doing the best he can with unprecedented challenges. Why does he deserve to be recalled, in your view?
Well, when we see so many things that are failing and the sense of urgency, Alex, that we need this change now, and particularly, you know, when we look at just some of the issues that continue to not be addressed. You know, we talked before about the failed response to COVID, and particularly the shifting rules and regulations, the fact that we've had some businesses that have been opened and closed four different times. Californians are hurting. That's real. They need leadership, and they're not getting it. The fact that we see private schools are open, but yet our public schools aren't for in-person instruction, that's a failure. When we see that California has unfortunately been one of the worst states for vaccine distribution, and we are the most innovative state in the country, and we're proud of that, to not have the planning that should have occurred for us to deliver the vaccine to those Californians, our first responders, our healthcare workers, those over 65, our teachers,
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to stop you for a second because I think the signal just went black. I'm sorry. What's going on with that? There you go. Sorry about that. We will let's pick it up. You were talking about education and private schools, public schools. We got that, and I think we may have gone black after that. What's that?
Let's start from the beginning. I'm sorry.
Okay, sure. We could start from the beginning. So what? There are folks that say, look, Governor Newsom has had a whole lot of challenges. He's doing the best he can. He won in a landslide. Why does he deserve to be recalled? That's quite a step.
Yeah, because people understand the urgency that we need a change now. When we look at so many of the failures that have happened, you know, particularly obviously on COVID-19, the fact that we are one of the worst states in the nation in terms of getting vaccines out, people that need them the most, our first responders, those over 65, our healthcare workers, to see how California is at the bottom of that list, we should be at the top. We're the most innovative state in the nation. When we see the conflicting, continuing change and moving of the goalposts of COVID-19 regulations, what that has meant and damage to our economy and our small business, I've been very outspoken from the very beginning. We need to save lives and we need to save livelihoods. And when we have small businesses that have been opened and closed, sometimes four different times during that, that tells you of the strategy and the plan that is not working. And when we see the fact that private schools are up and running with in-person instruction, and yet our public school system is not, that's inexcusable. Californians deserve better.
So if there is a recall this year, are you going to be on that ballot as somebody who could be the next governor this year?
We'll absolutely be ready. Yeah. And that urgency, that sense for a change, as I said, that cuts across all demographics. It's every part of the state. It's all political affiliation. This is not a partisan issue. This is a leadership issue. This is a common sense issues that aren't being addressed in California.
You've talked about COVID. So what specifically is your plan, though? What do you think is working? What do you think is not working? If you're in there, you're governor right now, what are you doing differently today?
Well, I you know, a couple of things that hit it, you know, directly head on. First and foremost, have to use the science. And the fact that we have not been using the science as just one example where we've stopped outdoor dining in virtually all parts of the state, when there's no science that said that that is causing the transmission. And yet what that means to so many California small businesses and so many families that are bearing the economic brunt of that, again, because it wasn't following the science. When we look at the logistics that should have been put in place now, ready for the vaccine distribution, because we had all fall to prepare for it, and indeed last summer. But to see California scrambling, to see California being one of the worst states in the country in terms of getting these vaccines delivered, that's something I would have done a lot differently.
So how would you do it now in terms of vaccine distribution?
Well, you have to, it's a logistics issue. It's knowing, you know, what your resources are, what are the additional resources you have to bring in. There's one goal. You have to get people vaccinated. You have to get those shots into arms. And so it's a logistical issue. It's about being all hands on deck. It's not about, oh, we just got the vaccines and now we ought to have a plan. This is the type of plan that should have been done months ago.
So this week, California Democrats held a virtual press conference where they called the recall attempt a coup, which of course it's not, since recalls are legal. They now say that's a metaphor. In any event, I asked them specifically about you. And here's what Long Beach Mayor Robert Garcia said.
And I think most mayors, including maybe Mayor Faulkner, if you had asked them a few months ago, would tell you the governor is doing an excellent job.
What's your response to that? His basic point is that you worked well with Governor Newsom before, and now you're sort of flipping because you're running against him.
I've been pretty outspoken, pretty direct about the failures of leadership. And I think you saw from that press conference and all the blowback that rightfully happened. To say that this is a coup is a slap in the face to literally over a million Californians, Alex, families across the state that have signed this petition saying that they want to change. You hit the nail on the head. This is a democratic process. This is a process being driven by frustrated Californians who want to change, who realize we need to make a difference. And so to see what happened this week with some of those folks, as I said, the huge backfire, I think they did themselves a big disservice.
You know, Democrats say that you've been a supporter of President Trump. They point out that the president lost the state by around 30 points. A question for you is, do you still support the president after January 6th? Do you agree with the impeachment of him?
Look, as I said before, the election's over. It's time to move on. It's time to bring this country together. I said that from the very beginning. I've worked with Democrat presidents as mayor and Republican presidents, and I'm going to point out successes and failures. My job is to do what's right as mayor. My job now is to do what's best for California. And I think it's incredibly important that we bring our country together, that we focus on the issues that matter the most. And look, that's why I'm focused on what's not happening here in California. This recall started almost a year ago from that frustration, which is what's not happening, homelessness, public safety. That's why I'm taking the steps that I'm taking, because our state is not doing the job that it should.
But to that point, that the election's over, do you agree then that Joe Biden won the election fairly, that suggesting otherwise is a bit irresponsible, and that what happened on January 6th is dangerous, and the president bears some responsibility for that?
Does. And what I also said at the very beginning, once the election was over, the election's over. It's time to move on. And I think that that's important for all of us. I don't care what your political party affiliation is. It's time to move forward as a country.
Now, on the same day that you announced your gubernatorial exploratory committee, Republican John Cox reportedly poured $1 million of his own money into his own gubernatorial exploratory committee. Cox, of course, ran against Newsom the last time around. What are your thoughts on your potential competition here?
You may have several folks that will jump into this. Look, the reception that we've seen, Alex, since I've announced has been incredible, and to see it all across the state, Republicans, Democrats, and independents. Look, I'm proud of my record as mayor of San Diego and how I govern. And those that know me know it's not about partisanship. It's about leadership, and it's about bringing people together to find solutions. And I've always said, if you treat people with dignity and respect, even if you disagree with them, that's how you actually find solutions. So I think I have a pretty strong track record of doing that. I think that's what our state needs right now. And I'm pretty confident that as we continue to move forward and get rolling and we take this message all across the state, that's going to be a message that Californians respond well to.
But on that point of it's not about partisanship, the Newsom campaign last time around with Cox made the Trump thing a huge factor over and over again. Clearly, Democrats keep putting up that picture of you and President Trump on Twitter all week. They think that that is their way to bring you down. How do you get around that, though, in a state where President Trump lost by 30 points?
Well, look, I look back to the elections that I've won successfully in San Diego. Again, I win by winning Republican, Democrat, and independent support. And when we look at those and how I've been able to do that, and how I've been able to govern, that's the exact right model that I think we need statewide. Again, somebody who has proven who can win elections in even a Democratic majority city, San Diego, bring people together and actually get real results. And when we look at the results that we were able to get in San Diego with homelessness actually going down the last 2 years, the strong support for our economy and jobs, strong support for public safety, I think those are issues that Democrats support, independents support, and Republicans support as well.
And let's talk more about homelessness. You've been on the issue is before talking about your approach to homelessness in San Diego. And so I'm wondering what we can learn statewide from that. Would you want to see basically a prevention of people sleeping in the streets across the state if there are beds available at shelters?
Absolutely, yes. And let me be very direct about this, because I spent a lot of time as mayor of San Diego. I believe that everyone has the should have the right to shelter. I also believe that if we provide that shelter, we have an obligation to use it. And that was the approach that we used in San Diego, an approach that was very successful. One of the only urban counties in California where homelessness actually went down by double digits. And I've been very direct on this. I said, if you allow somebody to sleep on your sidewalk in a tent, you're condemning them to die in that tent on your sidewalk. We're better than that. We're better than that as Californians. And so if we looked at the successes that we had, did not allow tents on the sidewalk in San Diego, I said, we're going to build the shelters, we're going to site them, we're going to locate them, and then you need to use them. It's been a real success story as we have moved more people off the streets, because that's what, at the end of the day, that's what we want. We don't want somebody just off the street for a night or a week. We want to get them back on their feet, get them those permanent supportive services, and get them back into that place of their own.
Why don't we pause for a second? I guess we went black again. What's going on with this? There it is. Okay. To pick up on that point about homelessness, what do you say to folks that might say, how do you make homelessness illegal? Are you worried about the legal challenges of that?
Now, look, we addressed that head on in San Diego, and we said everybody has the right to shelter. I cited those shelters in the locations and made that decision. Again, because what we want is we want somebody off the street, not just for a day or a week, but we want to get them in that shelter so we can get them back on their feet and get them that place of their own with the help and the support. That's why we made such dramatic progress in San Diego with homelessness going down double digits. We can take that model. We have to take that model, and we have to bring it statewide.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Our conversation with Mayor Faulkner continues after the break. We're going to get to know him a little bit better, play our personal issues and name game. But a reminder to head to our website, theissueisshow.com, for more show content, podcasts, and more. Plus, send us an email as well. We'll be right back. There is a picture of former San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner with his family. He is essentially running for California governor. And so we want to get to know him a little bit better. Of course, our friends watching on Fox 5 San Diego right now know you pretty well. But in some other parts of the state, they don't know you as well. So let's learn a little bit about you. You were born in San Jose. You grew up in Oxnard. You speak Spanish, right? Tell us a little bit about you.
All of that is correct. Yeah, I spent most of my all of my grade school and high school at in Oxnard, and came down to San Diego for school. I'm proud an alumni of a San Diego State University, and so here in San Diego with my wife Catherine and a son Jack, who's at in college right now, and a daughter who's just finishing up in high school.
And my sister is an alumnus of San Diego State University, so go Aztecs, we like to say here. Yeah. We like to play some games on this show. This is called the Name Game, where we say the names of some well-known figures, and you say the first word or super short phrase that comes to mind when you hear it. All right, you ready? Here we go. Governor Gavin Newsom.
Indecisive.
John Cox.
Decent.
Donald Trump.
Divisive.
Joe Biden.
President.
And finally, your successor as San Diego mayor, Todd Gloria.
Colleague.
Okay, very nice. We also like to play a game called Personal Issues. This is even more fun. This is where we learn about your favorites. This is 30 seconds, rapid fire questions. Get to know what you're like at home, as you welcome us into your home. So here we go. 30 seconds, let's begin. Favorite TV show?
You know, I usually watch, what's the most I'm watching right now? I'm gonna have to think. It's the news. It's, what's my favorite TV show?
The issue is, all right, keep going.
I just finished.
Favorite sports team?
Oh, Padres.
Favorite meal?
Oh, it's a steak.
Favorite beach?
Spend probably most of my time at Mission Beach.
Who's your role model?
I have many, but when I look back when I'm growing up, my mother, my mom Kay.
What? Tell us about her a little bit.
I'm so proud of her. You know, when I was growing up, Alex, she was a secretary. She went to night school to get her master's and PhD when I was growing up as a kid. She ended up leaving from a secretary to being a dean of the business school at my community college. And like, she always taught me about persistence, perseverance, and always doing the right thing. And I wouldn't be where I was and what I've been able to accomplish without her guidance, her support, and her love. She's been one of my heroes since day one.
There's nothing like a great mom. And just to follow up, do you have a favorite TV show?
I guess I don't have a specific one. I watch sports and news, man. That's what I do.
me too. I got to love that. All right. Mayor Faulkner, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll be talking a lot more as we go forward through this process. Nice to see you.
Alex, thank you, my friend. All the best.
All right.
Our thanks to Kevin Faulkner, our thanks to Eric Swalwell, and our thanks to you for listening. Next week, we will be broadcasting from Washington for a special edition of The Issue Is and The Issue Is podcast as we talk about the presidential inauguration. Until then, I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks for listening. Give me a holler in social media and please rate, review our podcast and let people know about what we're doing. Have a great week.